Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. Joining me today is Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, most pastors think of preaching as their major Sunday morning responsibility. You added a second task to the pastoral role on Sunday, didn't you?
Yes, I did, Dean, and I felt quite strongly about it. Part of what takes place on Sunday morning is that the people gather to hear what God has to say to them, and usually that is through the scripture reading or through the sermon. But they also gather to tell God what they appreciate about him, to say thank you to him, to confess to him. So there's a double thing that is going on, us to God and God to us. And when God shows up, I want to do our very best to be able to praise him for what I know him to be. So not only speaking on behalf of God, but leading the congregation in terms of what they're saying to him, that was extremely important to me.
Well, let's take a minute to define the word worship so we're all talking about the same thing.
That's a tough one because worship is a very broad word and I'm using it in a specific way. When I talk about a Sunday morning service, I'm talking about attributing worth to God or people praising him, saying, if I put it in a more colloquial way, this is what I like about you, God. I really want to tell you this is good regarding who you are. So it's, in a sense, us paying God a compliment. That's part of what goes on, but then also after having done that, for example, we say, I really appreciate about you, God, that you are truth. Well, when we've done that well, then we're ready to hear the God of truth speak to us through his word, and it's a whole different response that we have than we would have if we hadn't praised him first.
Now, I'm told you quite often would teach your people things about God that weren't necessarily in the Bible or in the church hymnal. Is that true?
Well, it sounds pretty bad, doesn't it, the way you ask the question?
Shame on me for asking it that way, but I still want to know the answer.
The answer is yes. And part of that was because as I would work with people, we began to realize that the hymnal is quite limited. You can praise God that he's love, that he's wise, you know, that he's holy, that he's just, and so on. And you name about 10 of those, and at that point, it stops. There's nothing more in the hymnal. And the scriptures will add more. You know, the scriptures will add that God is omniscient or he is omnipotent. You get some hymns about that. But it adds some more. But after you have named maybe 25 or 30 attributes or characteristics of God, then it stops. But there are way more things we know about God and that we can express in a contemporary way that I think are very meaningful. And so we would add those. I don't think we added anything to be novel or creative or original or anything of that sort. We added them because we said, this is true about God. And so we want to be able to express this as well. It was always kind of a terror on my part because I didn't know how we were going to do that. Somebody either had to write original words for a hymn that we would sing to the traditional tune, or we had to go pretty much without music that morning, or we had to choose maybe two attributes, one where there was existing worship material, and then as we got into the specific where there wasn't existing worship material, and we had to be creative.
So worship wasn't just singing hymns or praise choruses.
Worship could be original poetry. That would be a thing. Worship could be dance. Worship could be a scripted scripture reading, as long as those were praise elements, like from the Psalms or whatever. It could be a creative prayer. Worship could be video, when we were praising God that he is the creator. In fact, which is of a bigger topic, God is creative. I mean, God is incredibly creative, but you don't find that in the scriptures as such. You have to read it into the scriptures. But we used all kinds of video when we did that to show the diversity and the beauty of what he has created. We used testimony. Basically, a person would say, God, I'm praising you this morning that you are the God of new beginnings. And I want to tell you what you have done in terms of my life. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't to try to augment the pitiable amount that we have in the scriptures. We never felt that way. It's just that there were ways that we could express ourselves to God and say things that weren't the traditional way of saying things. For example, I think that it's incredibly important that God is personal. He knows your middle name. I don't know your middle name. You don't know. You may my. I don't know whether you know my middle name
or
not.
I know your middle name.
Well, God does too, and He knew it before you did. Okay, but He knows us as individuals. Knows it. God is very personal. That usually isn't found in the hymnals or so on. You know, I think it's very important. I've met a lot of people in my life who are not very well balanced. You know anybody like that?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's neat to be able to come to God and say, God, You are the most well balanced of any kind of personality I've ever met. Right. You are able to use wrath when that's necessary. You're able to be very gracious and gentle and fatherly when that's necessary. Mm-hmm. I like the balance that You show to us in the Scriptures. You know, those are good things. Okay, so I don't hear it as heretical as much as trying to express the broadness of who God is. I think I mentioned earlier just this week, every day I write down, these are things I like about You, God. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I wrote down was, God, I like it that You aren't shockable. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes what happens in terms of ministry, people I know, I'm shocked by what goes on. And then I think, well, it shocked me, but you know what? I don't think it shocked you. You've been around for a long time. And I like that you don't just say, oh my golly, I never anticipated that happening. Mm-hmm. You know, you're bigger than all of that. So we come up with new words, and those words help us define in our minds who God is and how we can draw upon Him at those times when we need Him to be what He truly is anyway.
Yeah, that's fascinating. The balance thing is very interesting to me. Sometimes in church team building, we use a tool called the Gregorik Style Delineator, and it basically measures tendencies on the part of individuals to be concrete, sequential, or abstract and random, and concrete and random, or abstract and sequential. And there's a score that adds up to 100.
Okay.
Well, most people have lean in one direction or another, and they have a predominant style. One time I asked Dr. Gregorik, how many people in the population, because he surveyed thousands and thousands of people, ended up with a score of 25, 25, 25, 25, so that they had a perfect diamond mm-hmm. shape and basically could flow in all four directions. Well, it's a very tiny, 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 less than 1% of the population that ends up in that dynamic
mm-hmm.
where they can flow in either direction at any point in time. And I said, can you think of a really good example of someone? And without hesitation, Dr. Gregorik said, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Isn't that interesting?
He would be perfectly balanced in all of those attributes, and he would flow in whatever situation was confronting
him. Fascinating.
He had the ability to flow in every mm-hmm. direction.
And so, he is therefore worthy of our praise.
Worthy of praise because he, as the creator of all things, but yet he has that perfect balance. We talk about walking with Jesus, and one of the struggles is to stay balanced.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard you use the example of a tightrope walker,
mm-hmm.
how they have to stay balanced. And we have to be balanced in our Christian lives. Well,
yes.
Fortunately, we have the example of God and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, who are perfectly balanced.
Yeah.
Now, when you're picking one of these Sunday worship themes, do you just pick them at random?
Oh, Dean, you know I'm not going to do that. Okay, I'll give you an example and I'll put you on the spot, okay?
Sure.
Remember a couple times back we were talking, we just took a text and said, how do we get a subject response? We did the one from Luke chapter 12 about the wise fool, and we said the person who's wise sees life through an eternal perspective, okay? Now, once that thought is there, we got the truth, then the question is, what do we praise God for that will fit this given text? So it all starts with the preaching theme. And if you say, okay, you can praise God that He is eternal. He's not just bound to this life. You could praise God, help me, that He's judge.
He's wise. You
he's wise.
Praise Him that He's
sure,
wise.
Sure. And then if you say, that's probably the best choice. We praise Him that He is wise, and we do that for 15, 20 minutes. You're ready then to hear what the mm-hmm. wise God says, that you will think in terms of eternity, not just these few years that we're here on earth, but you connect the worship theme with the preaching theme. So I always saw that as my job. I wanted to grow my people in worship. And that was a limited understanding of worship, because worship involves the whole of your life. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable worship, so on. So what's basically there is saying all of our life is worship. We live it in a way that will bring him praise. But I'm using it in the restricted sense of saying when we come together as a congregation, we're going to try to voice specifically what it is we like about God. And having done that, it will grow us in our appreciation of who he is and make us more open to hear the truth that's going to be presented from his word. So those were both very important to me.
It, as an alternative to God being the God of wisdom, that would be something that would be very typical, and we even have some hymns that support that and so forth. But it occurred to me that a theme, an attribute of God would be God is the giver of a wise path. He is the giver of the wise pathway of our lives. We just simply have to obediently follow him. Of course, that's very hard for us to do in our own strength.
Yeah, but don't go to that. Just let me say, you got it exactly right. So there are probably, you know, we could probably come up with six different directions, and there would be a lot of scripture in terms of the path to walk and how God guides us and on that. So yeah, there are a lot of ways. You just pick one or you overlap them, whatever you do. But that to me was very, very important. And it's not done in nearly enough churches. You know, they tend to say, okay, our worship time, and that includes singing praise songs. And that's all. You know, and they don't weave the prayers together with that or whatever. Or they use a very sloppy definition of worship, which includes anything you do, you know. Mm-hmm. I see the worship being addressed to God and talking to him about what we appreciate regarding his nature.
Yeah, what do I like about you, God?
Mm-hmm.
Seems like an awful lot of work to add on to getting a sermon ready.
It is. It really is. But many times God will speak through the worship time to the people as much as he will speak to them through the preaching time. And on top of that, he can speak through both of them in a wonderful way, because you also, you know, you approach God in worship, you listen to him speaking from his written word, and then you respond in obedience, and that response should connect with what is going on as well. We're not just different parts of the service fit together at random, each person doing his or her stick, you know. Mm-hmm. It's all one seamless part. And that to me is what is the beauty of the church, as it works together in a beautiful way. And then God is able to reveal himself during all of that. So, yeah, it was extra work. I enjoyed that part probably as much as the sermon part. So it turned my crank, if you please. And I miss that part because I don't see it in a lot of churches. I see it again as very well done parts, but unrelated parts. Mm-hmm. And I think broadly. So this is the umbrella of what's happening when we're coming to church. And if you ask, was it a task? I don't think it was a task. I found great joy in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you speak of it with such passion, and that's obvious. Have you ever analyzed why it was so important to you?
Yeah, I know exactly why it was, because I expected God to show up. You know, I knew he was coming. And I didn't just want this to be for us. I said to the people oftentimes in the church, we don't gather just for our sake. Mm-hmm. We gather because God is in our midst, and we want to be able to speak to him in a meaningful way. And we want to be able to leave and say, I'm not sure I did all that good a job of, and I can think of lots of Sundays, I didn't do all that well preaching, but did you hear our worship, God? You know, mm-hmm. Overlooked the sermon. It wasn't as good as it should have been, but the worship was really great, okay? And that was extremely satisfying to me.
And people go away from a worship service like that feeling that indeed they've done something well because they've praised God appropriately.
Yeah, I'm sure, Dean, I'm sure that choir members, they don't say, boy, we really sang well this morning, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Which is the tendency for a minister to do if he's self-centered. I really did quite a whale of a job. You know, I think they basically say many times, I hope, God, that you received our worship from the heartfelt emotion that I had of expressing it to you. And the words, they were exactly where I'm coming from. I identify with the writer, you know. And hopefully you received it in a way that you said, I love those people, you know. Mm-hmm. I really love those people.
Mm-hmm. And we love you, God.
Yep.
We love you back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for being with us for this podcast. As always, we invite you to go to our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us when we meet at our next podcast.